Welcome to another episode of the Access Baseball Podcast, covering all the bases of high school and college baseball. And now here's your host, Vinny Massana.
Hello and welcome to the Access Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Vin Massana. Once again, we're filming live tonight from Pro Game Athletics, Bayshore, New York. This is our 10th and final week here. We're joined by a very special guest, Frankie Noto. Frankie's a junior at West Hampton Beach High School and plays with Team Steel 2022. So, Frankie, first of all, thanks for coming on the podcast today. And how's the winter going so far?
Oh, it's good. Pretty basic. Been going to the gym and stuff and just working out and getting ready for baseball in the summer and just
hanging in there,
getting at it.
And I went to you guys' workout last Sunday. Very impressive group at Baseball Heaven. A lot of individual kids. I mean, it singled out you, Taj Farmer, Mike Maggio and stuff, but you guys have had a lot of success on the team from a team perspective as well too. You won the Super 17 Perfect Game National, top eight in Jupiter. Let's start there. I mean, that's a big tournament. When you go down there, a lot of times the New York teams, it's very tough to keep your head above water, and you guys found a way to do it. So how are you able to do that?
Yeah, we're just playing baseball, being ourselves. We have a great team to back us up, and we have great pitching, hitting.
Who were some of the teams that you guys beat?
We beat Next Gen in the final, and then to get there, I think we beat Long Island Strong, and we were playing up in the tournament, so we were playing, there was, a lot of 16-year-olds on our team, mm-hmm. and 17-year-olds, so we played up a division, we played 18U, and we just played baseball,
just got at it. You guys just clicked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and who were some of the individuals that you think deserve some recognition from your team that maybe haven't gotten the same level of attention?
Definitely Jason Ambos. He's a great baseball player. He works hard every time when he goes to practice. Probably Safwan Sharif. He's very good. He works hard every time he comes to practice. He's a great leader. Mm-hmm.
How about the shortstop? He was someone that stood out. Ramos, I think he's from St. Dominic. First name escapes me.
I don't know if he came to the
team. Oh, he might have been on the younger group. Yeah. Okay.
But definitely yeah. Brady Steiner, too. He's a great leader. He goes to Chaminade. Mm-hmm. He's starting at shortstop this year for them, which is great. Mm-hmm. He's a great infielder, great hitter. He just gets everything done for the team, and he's just a baseball player.
Just a well-rounded guy, yeah.
Yeah.
And what were some of the things that drew you into Team Steel when you were younger, looking for an organization?
When I was in seventh grade, we had to leave All-Pro, and we had an All-Pro Stars team, and then I came to Team Steel, played a year, we lost every game almost, and then we went to a different Team Steel team, we lost every game almost, and then my freshman year, I talked to Coach Cam, and he put his trust in me, and, I started playing with him, and, from there on out, we clicked as, we got a bond together. He's a great coach, so we ended up winning games with the team and everything, and
everything just started to click?
Yeah.
Yeah, and now you get lessons from Keith and Cam, too. Really good instructors. Cam was a standout pitcher at William Floyd before going to Albany, and now obviously running the indoor over at Baseball Heaven. And Keith, 12-year big leaguer, doesn't get much better than that in terms of a reputation or pedigree. But when you're getting lessons from a guy like that, what does he do for you that has allowed you to go to the next level?
It's just the drills he does with us and me individually. He's a very great coach, and, he'll push you, and he'll make you do those drills, and he'll get you to,
Noticing the little things, too, right? Going through the motions.
Every specific, whenever you do something wrong, he'll just critique you right away, and he'll just ease you into doing it better and just getting better as a hitter.
Yeah, he just picks up on things that I think probably a novice is not going to notice. And now West Hampton Beach, for those that don't know, school on the East End, and it would stand to reason that players from the East End have a little bit more of a challenge getting noticed.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much anymore with the advent of showcases and travel baseball. It kind of puts everybody on the same plane. But do you feel like, you know, you guys get overlooked to a certain extent? Maybe you're not getting games covered. Maybe college coaches are not driving all the way out there because it's just a distance thing for them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when it was my freshman year playing with West Hampton, you know, we weren't really the best. We only won like two games, and that was against Islip, Central Islip. And, you know, COVID then hit my 10th grade year, and then we ended up playing in the Brookhaven tournament, and we won a game. You know, we kept in close with Sayville, Miller Place, and I believe it was I want to say Hopog, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not that we don't get the recognition that we deserve. It's just we weren't really, like, a well-rounded team my freshman year. But I feel like this year coming into the season, if COVID doesn't ruin anything with our season, I think we have a very good chance at, you know, taking it at least to the first round of the playoffs, because we have a left-handed pitcher, Ryan Miller. You know, he's very good. Jack Halloran.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about those two guys. Yeah. Let's start with those two. Ryan, lefty pitcher, low to mid-80s. I think he started the game that I covered at Hop Hog a couple of years ago, and now he's, you know, he's up in the mid-80s, so he deserves all the recognition that he's gotten. And Jack, power-hitting third baseman. Yeah. Can you tell our audience a little bit about him? Because I think he's somebody that flew under the radar, and he went out and hit 12 home runs this summer.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't really get the recognition that he deserves, but, you know, he's a great baseball player, great leader. He's always at practice, helping younger guys out, helping the older guys out, or his grade, my grade. He just brings good...
He brings a lot to the table.
Yeah, he is definitely an underrated senior at our school or on Long Island, because obviously he hit 12 home runs, but you know, I feel like he deserves more recognition as a baseball player. You know, it stinks because COVID had to hit because he didn't get to get his recruiting process done, but you know, he's gonna definitely find somewhere where he can fit in and be a good part of for the team.
Yeah, that segues to the next question about the recruiting process. It's stressful for anybody, but especially this year with your sophomore year getting canceled. So what's that process been like, and where are you at right now?
So pretty much sophomore year got canceled. We weren't really sure if we were going to have a season or not. We ended up going to Baseball Heaven, and, you know, we got videos out, and then we actually ended up planning tournaments, like local tournaments at Baseball Heaven. So I think that's where, you know, we took advantage of that with getting on the Rapsodo, getting videos of pitching, hitting, and everything. And, you know, everyone just, you know, got their own videos out there, and just getting them to colleges was probably the best thing for them. Mm-hmm. It kind of stinks because you can't get the colleges to come out to watch you, but...
How big has the technology been this year? I mean, before this, you had the obvious was just to call up a school, they come down, you know, they formulate their opinion, and then whether or not you hear back from them, that's up to them. But now that line of communication is not there anymore. You need to rely on Rapsodo. You need to rely on video, social media, right? These mm-hmm. are all things that were non-starters 10 years ago. You didn't even have to think about that. And now it's literally the crux of where the recruitment process begins and ends, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's a very big advantage to our standpoint with, you know, Rapsodo, the videos, you know, exit velocity and everything. If we can get those videos out there, it's great, because the technology has just gotten to a point where, like, you can send the numbers to coaches and
it legitimizes it.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a good thing that we have, you know, this technology, so we can get these videos out to these coaches and just sending them what we are as baseball players.
Yeah. And all right, so a couple more questions before we run out of time here. Also, from a pitching perspective, when did you get your biggest jump in velocity? I've noticed recently you're now up in the upper 80s. Is that something that you've always been ahead of the curve, or do you feel like more recently, you know, kind of happened overnight seemingly?
So pretty much when it was the beginning of the summer, I really wasn't taking pitching that seriously. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the first time I actually got a chance to play was against Next Gen in the championship game. And then I got to take warm-up pitches, and they put the gun behind the backstop. I hit 85, 86, 86, 84, 85, and then I kept going. I topped out at 87.6, and I was like, yeah, I really want to take this to the next level. And then we ended up going to a Staten Island tournament in the fall, and I hit 88, and then it was 88.5, and then, you know, I was just like, it was like crazy because I didn't think I could throw that hard. And now, just knowing I can throw that hard, I want to take it to the next level and just become a pitcher and be in a two-way in college.
Mm-hmm. Well, that actually took the words out of my mouth there. Not to get into specifics, but has there been some teams that have only viewed you as a hitter, and then there's some schools that only view you as a pitcher, and then I'm sure there's some schools that are going to give you the opportunity to do both, right?
Yeah, well, some schools see me as a hitter, some schools see me as only a pitcher, and some schools can see me as a two-way. But I think I can be a two-way, and I can bring my pitching ability into college and my hitting ability and playing the outfield into college for sure. I just have to work on getting better with my pitching and just location, you know, getting that velocity up if I want to take it to a D1 level. Hitting is there. I just have to work on my mechanics. I have to get better with hitting in-game and fielding. I just got to work on that every time I'm at practice.
Well, you don't have a lot of mileage on your arm, right? I mean, if you only started throwing recently,
yeah,
right, you haven't really – you're pitching young, we'll call it. I mean, yeah, you've only been throwing for the last couple of years, so you still have to learn, you know, refining your mechanics, working with your secondary stuff. Is that something that you're going to fixate on this offseason, is to kind of refine your arsenal of pitches?
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely going to work on my pitches, and, you know, I was looking into trying to throw a knuckle drop because I know that's definitely a big pitch that pitchers throw. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to go into the offseason and work out, you know, strengthen my arm, get the velocity up with Baseball Heaven, and they have a pitching program I'm going to do with Coach Cam. He's going to, you know, get me better with pitching, locations, pitches, all that stuff.
And yeah, just the mental aspect of the game, that's the other side of it that you haven't had to even deal with if you've only just started throwing recently. Mm-hmm. So you're a Yankee fan. Who's your favorite player, and who was your favorite player growing up?
On the Yankees right now, my favorite player is definitely Gerrit Cole. You know, I look at him as, you know, I'm trying to just take my game and be like him and just pitch like him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a good role model. My favorite player growing up, probably David Ortiz, definitely. You know, lefty hitter, big pop.
So Red Sox, wow. Yeah. That's heresy for the Yankee fans out there. How about, what's your favorite pregame meal?
Definitely bananas with peanut butter.
All right, protein and potassium, yeah. That's healthy. I thought you were going to say pizza.
No.
How about any superstitions before the game?
I usually run to center field. I'll just listen to my music, stretch in center field alone. I'll then just come back in, and then I'll just take my swings, just get ready.
So nothing out of the ordinary then.
Nah.
What's on the pregame playlist?
You know, I'm not really a big rap guy. I listen to country music here and there, but I do listen to rap music. Mm-hmm. You know, Lil Baby, probably Trippy Red, country music. I like Luke Bryant. You know, he's a very good artist.
Mm-hmm. And how about favorite app on your phone?
Snapchat, for sure. It's probably the most used app on my phone.
And last question, who's going to win the Super Bowl?
You know, I want to say the Texans because I'm a Texans
fan.
The
Texans. But, I don't think that's going to happen.
No, it's not. But if I were to guess, definitely the Packers or the Chiefs.
Probably. How did you become a Texans fan? I've never met one Texans fan.
So I used to live in Texas when I was in fourth grade. I was leaning towards the Cowboys, but then, you know, I saw J.J. Watt play when I was like 10 years old, and I got his jersey, and I was like, from there on out, I've been a Texans fan.
All right, well, that makes more sense.
It's definitely rough, though, the Kansas City game against them when they blew the lead. It was rough.
Well, maybe you get a top top five pick now.
Yeah.
Actually, no, the Dolphins have you picked. But anyway, that's for another day. So thank you guys for tuning in to another Access Baseball podcast. Thank you to Ken Courtwright, State Farm Agency, for sponsoring this series. And thank you to Pro Game for hosting this series.
You've been listening to the Access Baseball Podcast with your host, Vinny Massana. Tune in to the next episode. Until then, visit accessbaseball.com.